everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Splitting Hairs with Max, Nikki, and normally Nikon, but Nikon is out of town. And today we have a special guest co-host,
Peter Banks Kenny.
Hello.
As usual, I'm Max.
I'm Nikki.
And I'm Peter Cullen Lewis Banks Kenny.
Oh, look at that.
And together,
we're Max, Nikki, and Peter Banks Cullen Lewis Kenny.
Sure, whatever. You know, shuffle it around. Remix it. I said it never changes. Maybe that changes today.
Okay. So if you're just joining us on Instagram Live today, you'll notice that our co-host is different today. As Max just said, Nikon is in Spain for the next couple of weeks with his ballet dancer fiance.
And wow. So wait, he's going to Spain with a ballet dancer wife? He sounds like a really poor guy. He sounds like he really struggles to get by. Am I right about that?
he's not going. He is in Spain right now. His fiance is a principal dancer for the New York City Ballet, but she's retiring.
She retired from the New York City Ballet, but they're doing a little tour, which will be her final outing with the New York City Ballet.
Exactly.
Doing a tour. Exciting.
Yeah. And it is very exciting. He'd never been to Spain before, so we were given some suggestions.
But how about you, Peter? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Actually, you're catching me on a real nice day. As you know, the New York Times has reported I am in fact a restaurateur and comedian. Look it up.
That's true. We forgot to say Peter is a very funny stand-up comedian. Is also a good friend and
a co-host of an upcoming, soon to be released podcast that we all are involved in.
Very
named
excited
to be determined, but it is a Dungeons and Dragons podcast. Comedy infused podcast.
Yeah, we came up with a very brilliant name, which of course we found out 5 episodes into recording.
That's
was
right.
Already taken. So to be renamed, to be released podcast. But today, the restaurateur part of my life, which again is kind of a joke, but what's not a joke is we passed our fire inspection. So coming soon to Brooklyn, Cafe Camellia. That's what's going on. So I don't know if we do plugs at the end of the show. I'm doing it up top.
No. That's all a part of the station business segment.
I haven't said quite yet, but dun dun dum, station business. We forgot to precede our station business with a little jingle, but that's okay. There we go. He kicked us off of their station.
Say it one more time for the audience. The restaurant, what's it called?
Cafe Camellia. Camellia, like the state flower of Alabama, where our chef is from.
So you're going to enjoy
some delicious southern-focused seafood and fare. I'll be running the bar. You're going to love it.
Oh, nice.
Wow, I can't wait.
Is this
a first restaurant plug in the history of Splitting Hairs?
I believe so, yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
All right, there we go.
Because in the past, when Max and I have been servers for different restaurants, and we were doing this podcast, we would never have promoted our restaurants. But
because
we were just mere employees.
Because we were not getting paid for that. So why should we? Other station business. Want to mention, Nikki and I have another Vintage Basement coming up in April.
April 15th at 7 p.m. It's a Saturday. It's going to be at Young Ethel's in Park Slope for all of you Brooklynites. And hey, this is the first Vintage Basement that is free cover, free admission.
But do reserve your tickets, though.
You can do that on Eventbrite. The links are on our website. You can go to maxandnikki.com and it'll direct you toward the Eventbrite where you can reserve your seats. But free admission and, of course, donations are welcome. But we'll have a tip bucket going around during the show.
That's right.
And we got a solid lineup. Mike Hanford, Claire O'Kane, Jim Tews, and Rachel Green. Not the one from Friends, but another comedian named Rachel Green.
Mm-hmm.
That's a historic moment. The first free Vintage Basement. We're what, almost 6 years into this thing?
We are
finally
opening it up to
the people.
Yeah, I believe that's the policy of Young Ethel's, is they don't charge admission for the show.
Exactly. We just thought, hey, it'd be nice to have a Vintage Basement closer to where we live.
That's right. It's always been further away.
And We just wanted to see how it goes at this new venue.
So. Yeah, I think it's a cool, intimate spot, and we like it there. So
yeah.
And there's a piano there too.
Cool. Any other station business? Anything you want to promote? Anything?
Me? No, I got it out before the station business even began. So
sure, but we do want to emphasize that we are all three of us are part of a new podcast that's yet to be released. I know I'm just repeating it.
Yeah.
Again.
No, I really should have named and come up with some sort of press ready package to present for this podcast.
No,
but that did not happen. So watch this space.
But Peter is the host of the podcast, and it's going to be a lot of it's a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun recording it so far, and
you guys have been
Dungeons and Dragons based,
improv
comedy based podcast.
Just a heads up, Peter. Because you can already hear us on Zoom, do you want to turn down the volume on your Instagram Live? Because that's kind of seeping through a little bit.
I have tried. Let me go ahead. I'm just
it
gonna,
does. It won't allow you.
I'm gonna put on Bluetooth headphones that I won't be wearing just to silence it completely. One second.
Okay. Okay.
Well, that's a good idea.
What's that? Oh, okay. That's
hey, that's a good idea. You just plug in headphones into there. And it won't come through.
That's true.
See, this is that gorilla.
We've been so stupid this whole time.
I'm all about that DIY, you know. If it works, it works.
Also, another heads up, as usual, my phone battery is not a very good battery, so if I
keep telling Max, just go to the Apple store, get your battery changed.
I know, I should just get a new battery. But if my Instagram Live ends, just we'll continue on Nikki's, you know.
And is this the type of podcast that I'm stepping into? Is you regularly update your listeners on the status of your battery? Is that what's
going on? I'm just mentioning
that's
that
the whole conceit of the podcast.
Can we get through the podcast before my battery runs out?
Yeah. I guess. I'm at 60%. We'll see.
Anyway,
in fact.
Oh wait, why am I hearing?
Why don't you just plug that into your phone right now?
No, I can't hear anything here. Why? I can't hear anything there. That's fine.
Oh, okay. Anyway,
I can hear something through yours though.
Okay. Well.
Anyway, whatever. It's fine.
Anyway. So next up is our grammar segment. Grammar corner. Grammar corner.
That's the jingle for grammar corner.
And do we have any beefs with grammar this week? Any trends in incorrect syntax or grammar that you've been noticing?
Or any words or any phrases that just...
Oh, okay. Well, I have one, but it's not necessarily... I mean, you I think you said like pet peeves. Like, it's not necessarily a pet peeve, but it's relevant. I actually don't even dislike it, but it's happening right now, and it's taking over. Have you hung out with anybody lately who to signal that something that they like, whatever the person just said is, they just go purr, like a cat? They go purr.
What? Whoa! Yeah. I have not heard.
No,
that.
I have
but
not.
This
heard
sounds
this.
Annoying.
This is happening. Man. I thought it was just one person, and then a completely independent person was doing it too. I have no idea.
Oh man, I just.
That sounds so stupid.
Boy, I don't know.
I'm a cat freak, so I'm not super mad about it. But it's.
What if
it's,
I said woof? I mean, what about that?
Well, I actually say woof, but it means the exact. But woof means the exact opposite to me. You know, if something is going on and I just don't like anything about it, I want to totally reject it. Want to totally distance myself from it. Uh-huh. Woof. Like that conversation about the battery. Woof.
Uh huh. That's interesting. Woof.
But no. But this segment. Purr. Yeah.
Oh,
whoa,
man.
That's just, hey, yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about this. I haven't heard it actually in real life. So, I mean, my preconceived thoughts on it are that I don't like it, but who knows? Maybe I'd be, maybe if I heard it in real life, maybe I wouldn't dislike it.
I think it's what's going to happen to me is, and it's, I think it's already happening, is it's going to be one of those things where I start saying it ironically. And then my child is born, and I go purr.
Oh man!
Oh no!
Well, it's funny. We have done that in the past with certain sayings. Is we kind of say it in an ironic way, but then it starts becoming part of your vernacular, and you actually just start saying it for real.
Yeah.
Actually,
it's like for example, the expression "that's going to be a good look." That
we used to think that sounded funny. We would make fun of it.
Well, we wouldn't.
But we started saying it so much as an ironic thing that it became part of.
I will say,
I call my wife babe. I actually do that. It started as a joke. Hey,
really?
Babe, what's going on, babe? I actually know. Recently, this is the past couple months. I have to give her a dollar because I'm making her charge me a dollar every time I call her babe because I want to stop. I don't want to be a babe guy.
Wait, that's funny because Peter, I used to kind of dislike that idea too. I mean, I can understand for other people, but as for myself, I wouldn't ever call a significant other babe. I just think that's so. I don't know. There's something. There's an association with that of just sort of.
Wait, time out.
I don't know, but it's funny that you say that. You used to not do that. You know.
Oh yeah, it started as Sorry. What's up?
No. Go ahead, Peter. Go ahead.
No. I already said it.
Well, it's interesting that you're saying this because I could have sworn the last time we were at your place that I heard Aimé say "babe" to you.
Oh, it's a two-way street. We've both fallen into this trap.
Really?
Where it just, I don't even know if there was a specific person we were making fun of. Maybe it's my LA dad. But yeah, babe can be hot. But
that's right, as Cammy just mentioned. It can be hot. Yeah.
But it's also not hot when it's like, oh, babe, I'm sorry, I forgot to pick up the cotton candy grapes. You know, like that's not.
Cotton candy grapes?
Oh, you guys got to get these.
Wait,
cotton candy.
Whoa, hold on, Nikki, you're incorrect. We've had them before, actually, I believe at your place,
Yeah, that's right.
I think, because I recall having it.
Wait. Explain to the audience what a cotton candy grape is.
Listen, if I fully knew, I would explain, but it's a grape. It's a growing grape. I'm sure it's some sort of hybrid that's been bred selectively. I don't know if it's a GMO nightmare, but regardless, it tastes like cotton candy. It's delicious and juicy, and you want to put it in your mouth all the time. What more of an endorsement can you give for anything?
That sounds so delicious. Delicious, if you're Into the Woods fans. That sounds great. Okay, guys, I have a pet peeve of my own that I've come across quite a bit in recent years. But I will say that last week I heard Max say this and use a word incorrectly. And I thought,
You're putting me on blast because
I've heard this. So the past tense of copyright, what would you say is, Peter?
I'm going to try to be smart now, but my first reaction is copywritten.
Wrong. That's what Max said. It's copyrighted because
Whoa!
It's copy. It's your rights. It's your rights for copy.
I would have gone to copy wrote as
right,
second,
but it's your
course.
Nikki's right. It's not.
It's not about.
It's not something that's written. It's your
it's
rights.
Your rights as far as copy is concerned.
Okay. All right.
And
all right.
So
you know what? It checks out.
It bothers me when people say copywritten.
It actually bothers me.
It does bother me now.
Oh, come on. I don't believe that it bothers you.
For all of you out there, just know that it's copyrighted because it has to do with your rights pertaining to, you know, ownership of, I guess, well, anything, really. I mean, anything.
No, not exactly
Nothing written, but any.
Any media that, or any intellectual property.
Intellectual property. It has to do with your rights, not the fact that you wrote whatever that intellectual property is, but it has to do with your rights. So it's copyrighted. There you go.
Copyrighted and trademarked, weirdly.
Trademarked.
Trademark from Orc.
Yeah. Robin Williams had something to do
Mork
with...
Mork from Orc, right? I'm getting that, right? Mork from Orc?
It is Mork from
right,
Orc.
Okay.
Yeah. Just make sure. Mork and Mindy. Cool. Anything else, Max, on that? On the grammar corner?
Copy wronged is what Gemma Leslie said.
Copy wronged.
That's very good. All right. So let's move on from our grammar corner onto the topic at hand. Do we have a topic at hand?
Well, we were just coming up with one just prior to the recording of this episode. But Peter, did you have any ideas before we...
I was told to play it loose, and I played it very loose. The answer is no.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Okay. I didn't.
Oh no, that's okay. You don't have to. So here is one that we thought was really interesting, especially pertaining to all of us because we're comedians. If a comedian has the same or a very similar joke as you, do you stop doing the joke or do you continue doing it anyway? Not being aware of this other person's joke
beforehand, you didn't actively steal the joke.
Yeah.
The same
goes for musicians where somebody might have a similar song that you weren't aware of. Do you still continue performing that song?
Well, this is obviously a little personal for me right now, having just gone through. So the podcast that you and I have been working on, it's a Dungeons & Dragons podcast, one of the themes of which is memory loss. In brainstorming titles, eventually we arrived at Total Reroll, which was like, oh, man, that's it. We thought of it, done, bing, bing, bong, game over, let's go. We do a quick perfunctory Google just to make sure nobody else has Total Reroll, used quotation marks and everything. Nothing came up. So we started going. A couple weeks later, I'm at the bar. A podcast producer, is in town for a convention. We're just chatting. I tell her about the project I'm working on. She goes to some specific I Know About Podcasts website, puts in my name, Total Reroll, and she goes, oh, it's a Dungeons & Dragons podcast. And I say, yes, assuming she's just very smart and can infer from the reroll. But no, she turns around and shows me Total Reroll, 21 episodes. It's a Dungeons & Dragons podcast that already exists. So now, of course, it's like, all right, I got to see that territory. But we look into this podcast. It's just, they just found the name. It's got nothing to do with the podcast itself. There's no memory element. There's no sci-fi motif. There's nothing. They're just sitting on Total Reroll. But to answer your question, in this case, it's too precise. It's too exactly the same. And they already have 21 episodes. I got to respect the hustle. So,
however,
sure.
as you said, I
got to change the name.
As you said, though, this is now a defunct podcast, that podcast, no?
Well, I think it's defunct in that they, they stopped, but I think they completed arc. They did what they wanted to do, and it's over.
So they still can...
Now they have no traction,
profit off of it somehow.
No listeners, no sort of following, whatever. But can't deny that it's already there.
Sure.
So, but first of all, before we get,
but into also it, it's a cool transition having to gone from our Grammar Corner's topic about copyright to this actually, which is kind of funny. Well, that wasn't planned at all.
You guys run a tight ship over here.
I didn't, not intentionally.
Do we think this is a good topic to debate or not? What do you guys think? Do you like it?
I think it's very nuanced. And it's always going to be case by case. So,
well, that's what's kind of that could lead to a better argument. But yeah. I don't know. What do you guys say?
I think so. Who cares to be the moderator for this one?
Thank you. And it's pronounced Cammy, or is it Cammy? Do we know?
It's Cammy.
Cammy. Well, okay. No listeners or followers, so I'd still use the name. I'm okay. That's all right. We'll think about it. So far, one of one says yes.
By the way, guys. Just so you know, what also adds an element of humor to this new podcast that has yet to be released is a few of us...
Prior to the podcast,
a few of us have very little to no experience with Dungeons & Dragons. So the podcast is also us learning how to play, which a lot of humor is derived from, too.
Definitely. I mean, so... my wife, who's a very talented actor, it was kind enough to join us on the show, and she has even less experience than the two of you. And so she described herself as, like when you're watching a fitness video and there's the person in the back doing the easier modifications. Like she's that, So if you're not familiar with D&D, you can still listen to this podcast.
Exactly.
And that's the point. You can live vicariously through the inexperience if you don't know D&D.
Exactly. It's a D&D podcast for everybody.
For everybody.
There you go.
All right, but let's talk about the...
Sex, baby. Anyway.
Well, guys, do you know about that song? Just a quick, as we do on this podcast.
About Let's Talk About Sex, Baby?
You know what
that
song is about, though?
Wait, do you not know that song, Peter?
Let's Talk About Sex, Baby.
Let's Talk About Sex, Baby.
Yes.
Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that can be.
Okay, are you about to tell me that song, Let's Talk About Sex, is about something other than talking about sex?
No. Yeah. But, Peter, you're light. Oh, there we go. Sorry.
No, it is about sex, but it's not about salacious things or something like it. It's about practicing safe sex, actually. It's trying to be make people aware of... in fact, it was used in a promoting safe sex campaign even, actually, I believe, at the time. And so it's just, yeah, it's just about getting, you know, when we can talk about sex, then we can start practicing safer sex. I think that was the whole idea behind the song. And not, it wasn't about,
okay,
you know, what you might hear in a song about, you know, being salacious or horny or whatever, you know. Anyway.
Putting so P and V, if you will.
Wait, what?
This is not that kind of show. Sorry. Never mind. Moving on.
Right. Put the P in V. Right. Right. Oh, yes. Gotcha. I don't know
if you guys are familiar with sort of the fundamental mechanics. We all know. We all
of sex.
We get it. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, for you Salt and Pepper fans out there,
yeah.
Another reason to be a fan.
All right. So I would love to moderate this debate.
Oh, you would? Okay. Wow.
Yes. And so... you two are of course, a comedic duo. So I feel like this is a very relevant topic for that. I'm sure the two of you have the two of you ever encountered something like this?
We have.
You have. That's surprising to me because you guys have such a unique comedic style.
I know, but
yeah.
So what was it?
What happened?
Okay. Well, so Peter's going to be playing the moderator in this debate. Max, I think you were going to take the side of not doing the joke or the song, right?
Okay, sure.
And I'm taking the side.
I'm not totally, just the as we always say, I don't totally 100% feel this way, but for the sake of argument, we're going
to
do it.
And Peter, don't be afraid to chime in on not just being a moderator, but being an argument.
To have a
being
counter
an argument. Being an argument.
Yeah. Chime in as an argument yourself.
I am an argument. Damn it.
This does stem from the idea that we have a bit, we call it the Jaws bit, and essentially the crux of the joke is, we'll say it right now, hey Max, did you know that the music to the movie Jaws was written by a sassy woman?
Mm-hmm. That's the joke.
I mean, there's more to it, but that's basically the basis of it, that... Mm-hmm. Because
I'm sorry,
obviously,
yeah. I'm sorry. I laughed so hard the first time I heard that joke. Audience, the podcast listening audience, don't think I didn't find that joke funny. I've seen these guys perform it probably 15 times, so I knew. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I knew it was coming.
Peter has seen that joke perform a lot.
I've seen you. That joke hits pretty much every time. So
right, it does. Yeah, it does. But at least that part of the joke.
I would say that definitely does. A year or so into performing that joke, maybe a little over a year, we found out that another comedian who we did not know at all had that joke. He was doing it by himself. He performed it in... Well, I'm not saying who the comedian is, but it was a lot more...
Well, no, it was, anyway, it was just, it was a little more straightforward kind
straightforward,
of way.
Straightforward,
yeah.
It wasn't...
So, yeah, I mean, are you talking the structure and, like...
It was pretty much, this is, his
the
joke
structure
is,
was pretty similar, though.
Yeah, he said, did you know the music to the movie Jaws was written by a black woman, is what he said, and then he went, mm-hmm.
Mm, okay.
But anyway...
But then, so we were doing our... We were headlining a show at The Stand, actually, and a friend of ours who worked there, he saw us do the joke, and he's like, oh, hey, that's so-and-so's joke, and we're like, what?
No, you're kind of getting the story wrong, but that's fine.
Essentially the story is...
Anyway, our friend was saying...
A friend tipped you off that there's another comedian doing this bit similarly.
Right. He'd been doing it...
And.
There's video footage of him doing it longer than we have, and you know.
I'm just going to dive in. I'm going to embrace the controversy here because that's what drives the clicks. So, all right. So he said a black woman. You said a sassy woman. Obviously, yours it's a little more universal, a little safer, and black woman a little more presumptuous. So, in my opinion, yours is a little more. I don't know, it's a little more precisely written in that it's not gonna be wrong. Like, you're saying, like, a sassy person goes, mm-hmm.
Right.
Not every black woman goes, mm-hmm.
Well, so, and also...
I like the defense
well,
of
it's
our...
Not just, it's not just not, it's not just every black woman, it's also, he's narrowing it down to a particular race, too. So yes, in other words,
of course.
That's what he's saying. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, just reiterating that it's...
Now, a little bit later on, a comedian friend of ours messaged us on Instagram saying, hey, I don't know if you guys are aware, but there's this comedian who has a bit that's similar to yours. And it was another comedian who had this too. And it's funny because his was even closer to our bit in the sense that our bit, we kind of act out this thing where Max becomes the shark and he's circling around me. And this guy had a bit where he was being followed by the shark. And
oh, is that true? I never saw that guy.
We just thought, this is insane.
But it's not a huge... I can understand, the basic premise of the joke being kind of... Well, I don't
anyway,
know. I can see multiple people coming up with that.
Behind this is that initially when we found out about this, Max was like, well, we can't do this joke anymore. And I thought, what are you talking about? Yes, we can. We don't know these other two comedians. We've never seen them perform in our lives.
I don't care.
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
And so my opening statement would be, yes, if you don't know that other artists work at all, because we're pertaining this to musicians too and other artists, it's okay. Now, when it comes to music, obviously there can be copyright issues that come up, like with the song "My Sweet Lord" by George Harrison.
There could be copyright issues coming up with comedy too, if it's on an album or something.
With the song "My Sweet Lord," George Harrison was sued by the writers of "He's So Fine,"
by the Chiffons,
and they actually won the lawsuit. And George Harrison, I guess they settled out of court.
George Harrison ended up buying the rights to the song actually, so that he could basically.
But I would say, in general, "My Sweet Lord" is a more popular song, even though it was written approximately 10 years later. It is a more popular song than "He's So Fine," and he still continued to perform it.
So are you saying, if I may jump in as moderator, are you saying that if you do it better, you are laying some claim on it?
Yes,
I guess you could say that. Although, time out, there is a line to be drawn in the case of Andrew Dice Clay, he stole his whole act, essentially, or Dennis Leary stole his act from actually a Louis C.K. bit, essentially. Louis C.K. was kind of doing a...
Dennis Leary stole his act?
I don't know this one.
He stole it from Bill Hicks, like his song that he made up,
Well, I think the case was that Louis C.K. was doing a character or something on stage that essentially influenced Dennis Leary's whole persona, and that...
Slubby
Boston guy who's inconsiderate.
You can't copyright
chain smoking thing.
You can't copyright ideas. You can only copyright.
I'm not saying.
I think you can copyright ideas. Isn't
you can't
point?
Copyright ideas actually.
Well, Max,
okay,
I'm not.
I guess
even
I don't know what like ideas.
For instance, here's
Max. No, but the argument is not whether or not you can copyright this. It's whether or not it's cool to continue performing that bit or song or whatever. And I think ultimately...
It's a long opening statement,
I think ultimately, if you don't... You weren't aware
seconds.
Of the other person's thing beforehand, and if you do it better, and if it is better, continue doing it. I think so.
Before we continue, before we hand it over to the other side of the debate, I'm going to turn on some lights because it's gotten creepy in here.
Yes, it was lighter out, folks, beforehand, and
we're recording this in
on the East Coast, of course.
Beautiful New York City.
Let's just take a look at some of these comments here. Tangents are formed. Yes, thank you, Gemma Leslie, for
yes, of course, on Splitting Hairs. Tangents are formed.
Why can't I remember who sings that? Were you talking about...
They were talking salt
let's
and
talk
pepper.
About
that
sex.
Oh, salt and pepper. Yeah,
salt and pepper.
Okay, anyway. My opening statement, before I make it, I just want to say that... this is why there's a lot of scripts that, end up movies that end up being similar in ideas. Just so you know, that's why you can't copy... you know, which is unfortunate.
I want to be clear. This is a part of your opening statement as moderator.
Okay, fine. Anyway, my opening statement is, no, you can't just, that's kind of unfair that, oh, you're doing it better, but then you're not giving it, this guy gets no credit that who came up with the idea beforehand, and you're just saying, no, I'm doing it better, so I get to just keep doing it. You know, that's not really cool.
But you didn't steal it from the other person.
I know, but then you're just, but you're kind of creating this this thing in people's heads that you are the originator of that idea, that this is oh, wow, what an interesting original idea this person had as a comedian. And even though that's not true, you're not the first to do it. So
that's your opening statement?
Yeah, short and sweet. There you go.
Let's talk attribution, because, of course, you can, excuse me, you can take an idea, you can do something with it, perform it for someone, but then, let's say, after the fact, or maybe, you know, maybe, let's say it's a joke. Let's say you're doing a joke in a club, and you do it, whatever. You put it up on Instagram, you realize, oh, you know what, I kind of cribbed that a little from somebody else, a little shout-out in the comments, or in the description, hey, you know, shout out to X comedian who helped inspire this bit. How do you feel about that?
Yes, I'm actually okay. So here's the thing. I think it's okay. Know. No, T.O., I think if you do find out and be like, hey, look, I didn't know this, but I just want to recognize that this person actually has a similar joke, or and they came up with before I did, but hey, enjoy both of our jokes.
Because this is, right, this isn't this sort of what the, you know, the... apologetic explanation for all the stuff that people said about Robin Williams was that he's such a, you know, he's such a
social sponge. Yeah.
He's such a sponge. It comes in so quickly. It gets processed so much. You know, he doesn't even hang on to any of the thoughts. They're not precious to him. So that right. when he's cribbing someone else's idea, he's not even aware of it. And so then, right, aren't right. all the stories he's actually just paying afterwards, you know, paying comedians to that he stole the joke.
But here's a...
Well, yeah, I mean, actually, for those of you who are not aware... yes, Robin Williams was notoriously known as a joke thief, and a lot of people didn't think he was even aware of it. And
he probably wasn't.
I remember my older brother's friend was performing with Robin Williams, and he had done really well, his friend, on stage. And when he got off stage, Robin Williams was about to go on, and as he was going off stage, he's like, "Please don't steal my jokes. Please don't steal my jokes. Please don't steal my..." Like he was
okay, yeah.
But he was just saying that in his head, so, you know, because he was worried, because he was a great comedian, and he had some great bits, so.
Now, here's the thing. This is actually in defense of Nikki, and this is something that, I'm paraphrasing something our older brother, who is a comedian, has also said that...
Brent Weinbach, very funny guy, big fan of his.
So, comedy, this is pertaining to comedy, but maybe you can, you know, apply this to other arts, too. But particularly comedy... For him, at least, and for us, I would say, is 85% delivery and 15% the content. So,
what do you mean? You just stated that you didn't say what do you mean by that? Like, what you meant to say was we believe Ooh. Good comedy is 85% delivery and 15% material, right? Is that's what you said? You just stated. You just said 85% delivery, 50% material, but you didn't say anything. What does that mean, you know?
I said in comedy.
No, but what does that mean? What do you think about that? Like,
meaning
what do you mean in comedy?
That
doesn't make sense.
Meaning if its effect on others, the way it's going to hit with other people, with the audience, is...
So you're saying this is your belief. That's what you're saying.
It sounds like you're advocating a world where you have a real book full of comedy standards, and anybody can just go off on stage and, you know, play some classics from the past. Let me bust out some great Richard Pryor bits, like I'm, you know, playing an old Wayne Shorter tune. Rest
See,
in peace.
Well, this is in defense of me. This is in defense of me actually. Then
that is a really funny and great analogy. If you're not aware, folks, jazz musicians have a book full of standards. Called the real book, usually. It's kind of
Well, they're, that the real book is kind of, a, I it's think a it's a copyrighted well, it's not, name, you know, but it, they're fake books is what it's called.
And like there, there's a bunch of these jazz standards in there that basically are essentially chord changes and the melodies.
And the melody played. They're kind of simplified charts, as you will,
yeah,
for
and
the
so
song.
Of course, in that case, you know, anybody's going up on stage, what they're bringing to that song is exclusively their original performance, and they're not contributing, you know, of course, during solos
yeah,
and all that. But
I don't agree with that statement off the bat, because...
Well, there you go, Nikki. Then you're in defense of me.
Hold on.
There you go.
When you are performing a jazz standard, I think... those standards are generally well known enough, at least by a jazz going audience.
Actually,
they
know who the author.
Let's let him finish. Okay, sure. They know it's a cover, and although I do want to bring up this specific example.
Do you think
I just want to interject. There are certain comedy standards, like the Aristocrats joke. And that is something that people, that's kind of like a comedy standard, but people ad lib on top of it and they do perform in their own ways. Anyway, go ahead. All right. Now, here's the thing.
You were talking about attribution, beginning a statement with here's the thing.
Is that a pet peeve?
That's it. Oh. Back to grammar corner? Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. Frankly, I'll tell you this, and let me be clear. And one thing I need you to know ahead of time, and before we get to that, I just have to make this absolutely crystal.
I don't like those phrases. You know what?
I don't know if you ever watched the Draymond Green show. He says, quite frankly, all the time. So annoying.
I mean, that's Stephen A. Smith's fault, so.
Well, here's an, I do want to mention is also essentially. I have come to dislike essentially.
Essentially. Basically, more or less.
Basically, I don't dislike that as much.
You just said that.
Essentially. Wait, what are you talking about?
No, go on.
No, I'm saying basically I don't dislike as much.
So we've reverted back to the grammar corner here.
Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. But for right now,
that's fine. You're resetting a conversation.
Sure.
It's one thing to reset a conversation. It's another thing to be in the middle of talking about a topic that everybody already knows what's going on.
I kind of feel like here's the thing. I was kind of, because we were just getting back into the conversation, I was sort of resetting in a way.
Fair enough.
Guys, go check out a previous episode of Splitting Hairs on the word literally, because that's a word that we have a pet peeve.
Okay.
To.
Anyway.
Do you really have a problem with the word literally? Like literally, really? Because you know what? The same thing happened to all of those words. And we just deal with it.
Begrudgingly, apparently. Begrudgingly, yeah. Okay. So, what was I saying? Okay, attribution.
Gemma Leslie, essentially purr.
Very good.
Nice.
Very good. Attribution, yes, you can say, oh, by the way, this comedian has this bit, but if you're going to perform it on stage, though, maybe you should also get the blessing of that other comedian, though, because maybe they're not okay with you using that. They came up with it first. I kind of do feel that they get claim to that as their original bit that they came up with.
Okay, but if you do... tell them there's a chance they could be a total jerk about it. And in that case, what if they say, no, I'm not cool with it? Why is it up to them to decide the fate of your own
bit? Here's why. They may not be a big enough comedian where people would recognize that for instance, if somebody saw you as a comedian and they were like, they saw your joke and they thought, wow, this is hilarious. This bit is hilarious. What an original idea. This is so funny. And then they saw them do that same bit and were like, oh, they're knocking off this other guy that I just saw this bit from. And then they are seen as the joke thief. You dig?
Well, I think it's all right. So if I may jump in as moderator, I think we're getting a little bit in the weeds here, because I think we started off from point of... very similar jokes. And your personal example led us into a direction where we're almost landing on identical jokes.
Yeah, which is interesting, yeah.
And I think at a point of identical jokes, The debate, because I don't know. I think that debate is a little more open and shut. I think with identical jokes, you know what? I'm weighing in as the moderator, and
I don't want to weigh in. Just be the moderator.
It is, of course. I think the original claim has to go to the first person to do it on stage consistently. If we're talking identical jokes,
similar
jokes on a theme.
That's a different story to me.
It's a different story. And I think pretty much that's a very straightforward. It's fine. I think that's fine too. It's your personal experience more likely than not informing the joke, and so it's your joke.
I agree. Now
making the decision that Jaws was sung by a sassy woman, and then discovering that other people have made a similar sassy, or the one guy saying that it was a black woman going It's tough. I think that your joke is better because it's not wrong and dumb. So that's where I stand on this side of the debate. But if you had both just arrived at sassy person, really, because does it need to be a woman?
That's true. You're very right about
that.
You know
what? I'm not calling you out. I'm calling you in. And I think...
but here's also... I guess we can't get really too hung up on that in a way because
I'm not calling you out. I'm calling you.
I guess we can't really get too.
You don't hang out with enough annoying people, then.
We can't.
Well, I do live with Max.
We can't get too hung up.
Burn.
Maybe he's right. No, we can't get too hung up on that. I guess because the whole basic premise of the joke is it's an absurd idea to think that somebody invented that. That was. You know, so it's almost like we already know this is a complete lie. You know, the premise is knowing that this is a far stretch of the imagination to think that somebody invented the movie Jaws based on them going, And so saying, you know, yes, we do say sassy woman, and he does say black woman. Yes.
Let me get extra annoying. I'm going to go all the way in.
Okay.
This person who says it's a black woman.
I mean, I agree.
Are they African American? Do they have an immersion in that lived experience?
He does not.
They're out. All the way out.
Done. Well, I know, but what I'm saying is, you know, you said, we could say sassy person. Yeah, you could say that, actually. I mean... That is something that we could say, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, even if we said a sassy woman, it's almost like we're saying a sassy woman. You know, in other words, we're not. It's a specific person, a specific woman invented this. You know what I mean? In other words, I guess what I'm trying to say is there's like it's an absurd idea.
It's a story. You're telling the story.
Right, telling the story.
And so you have a right to tell
imaginary story. Right, we're saying this as though it were like some fact, even though it's ridiculous for it to even be a real thing. So in other words, anyway, I guess that's the point I'm trying to make, is that it's not generalizing, it's actually specifying a particular person. Anyway, that's the point. But that's neither here nor there. We're getting off topic really here at this point.
I think we're moving into closing statements, and so I want to get. I have no idea how this works, because
we're talking about.
Sorry. Go on, Peter. But I do want to. I did want to mention something in regards to music related issues. But go on.
Yeah, I was going to talk about music. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh well, no. I just wanted to check back in. Because I think I'm responsible for this. The waters have gotten a little muddied, and so I think it started off. Nikki, you were pretty strongly in favor of keep telling that joke. Am I mistaken?
That's correct.
And
yes.
Max, generally speaking, you were saying you got to stop telling that joke. Have our positions evolved, or do we largely feel the same? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Let me answer that with another question. Or not question, but a statement. A friend of ours actually says that whoever performs it on TV first gets rights to the joke.
Putting it on wax, as it were. Pressing the record, making it permanent.
Right.
Well, in a world where everything is already recorded in Instagram.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is now, are we talking a threshold of views?
That's right. Also, that's the truth about the matter. So,
saying I agree with our friend's statement about that, because somebody could have just had the opportunity to do it on TV before you, and that's not necessarily cool. But
here's the thing.
I think for me, here's where my position has sort of evolved. Just search within your heart of hearts, and do you feel like, look, this is a strong bit of mine. I don't want to give it up just because I found out somebody else does something even identical to it, because chances are the audiences we're performing in front of are not going to, for the most part, are not going to be the audiences that guy is performing in front of.
Well, here's the thing. We actually did perform on a show with that guy. Nikki is like, oh, we should do this bit on the show. The guy comes in. He has another show to get to, so he ends up performing before us, and he does that bit, actually.
It's true.
So we're like, we can't do that
joke. It was the first time we had ever seen the guy in person.
Right. And, yeah, so that there you go. So
okay.
Case in point, that's actually the point right there. I mean, we were in front of the same audience, so we couldn't actually, we were incapable of doing the same joke. Otherwise, it might have, you know, it's like, well, we're doing the same joke right here, you know?
Yeah.
Now, as you said before.
No, I didn't realize you had such a specific acid test of our very debate.
Yeah. Now,
in the real world, you just went with whoever got there first.
Yeah. Now, what's funny, though, is. But Peter, right. What you say, though...
He was supposed to go on after us, by the way.
If it was a similar joke,
it's
but not the exact...
Sliding Doors moment.
Yeah, if it was similar, but not pretty much the same, I would say go for it, because it would be kind of an interesting thing to see two people's take on the same kind of idea.
Yeah, like going to any show in Brooklyn now, and it's mostly just going to be talking about being on Grindr. How close the guy on Grindr is to you. Oh, he's 23 feet away? Well, the last comedian made a joke about it being
also,
123 feet away.
I've heard so
I'm sorry, that's not my community.
Sounds like
I've just heard that joke a lot.
Well, sure. I mean, I've heard there's a lot of jokes that... Oh, here's another example is... You know, Nikki and I, we have this Italian bit where I pretend that I can speak Italian, but I'm actually just saying a lot of gibberish. And it's called double speak is what it is. But that's really comes from a tradition of this double speak thing that
guys like Sid Caesar.
Sid Caesar did back in the 50s, you know, and he was well known for doing that with a lot of different other languages, because his parents owned this cafe, and a lot of immigrants would come to that cafe, and so he would pick, as a kid, we would pick up on these intonations and inflections of how these languages were spoken, but he didn't know actually how to speak them, and so he had a real talent for being able to mimic the way somebody sounds in a different language, and he even went to France one time, and Mel Brooks talks about this situation where he sat with... They were ordering from a restaurant, and he pretended to order in French to this guy, and the waiter was just like, this sounds like French, and this is it, but this isn't, and there might be real words sprinkled in there, but he's like, this isn't
right,
actually.
Yeah, the waiter thought
he was
having a stroke.
Yeah, and he just thought, what's going on here? Right. Anyway, that's the basic idea behind this bit that we have, and that's where we're deriving humor from.
But it's how you're performing.
But we're doing it in a different way, and that's kind of like in somewhat of a way, how you're talking about the standards, you know, kind of a thing. I feel like that's kind of become ingrained into
variation
like
on a theme.
As a thing in comedy that you can kind of use in a way, I suppose. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know what my point was there, but.
Well, you're kind of more in defense of what I'm saying.
Oh, I guess I'm in defense. Yeah. Well, no, I'm in...
As a moderator, I have to point out that this debate is moving in one direction.
No, I guess what I'm saying is...
Harry Styles, is it okay to do a Harry Styles song?
No.
One direction.
No,
anyway.
As I was saying, was an idea is okay, you know? But an exact kind of almost word-for-word kind of a thing, that's I have take issue maybe with that, you know?
And so, all right, so let's narrow the debate. Let's get down to
business to defeat the Huns.
Any Hun, really. Moving on. So if you
oh, real
have...
quick, Hun, do you ever call your wife Hun?
No, that has never even occurred to me. That's
now you're
not,
gonna start doing
that's,
it.
That's not coming down the pipeline. Yeah, you might have just planted a seed that will germinate 10 years from now.
Wait, are there any? Do you have any besides saying babe, which wasn't intentional at first? Do you have any like nicknames or any any names that you call
her
besides
Aimee? She has a weird name to begin with. Her name is Aimee, which is a New Orleans bastardization of the French name Aimee.
Which means loved or
yes.
liked or
liked,
liked
or loved.
Yeah.
In this case, loved.
In this case, loved.
And so they say it all weird because they're from New Orleans. And so they say Aimee. And one time, this is not a made up anecdote, legendary college football coach Barry Switzer was spending some time, was spending some time with my wife when she was younger. And he began calling her Maymay. She was at the University of Oklahoma where he was a coach. She was friends with Barry's daughter and,
She
was spending some time together. And so I do sometimes call her Maymay.
That's an affectionate,
I hope Barry Switzer hasn't like done some awful thing that I'm not remembering.
Well,
like
you just stole that from Barry Switzer now he's going to sue you.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Maymay, that's actually, it's like loved me actually, if you're thinking about the French anyway. Good.
Anyway, to narrow the debate, so I think we agree, personal variation on themes on board, doesn't matter who, how big you are, when you started it, if it's personal to you, you're allowed to do it. I think what we're getting down to is, and we have a near identical joke between you and two other comedians, and so I feel like where the rubber is hitting the road here is that no comedian is going to give up a bit that works if they're not forced to. And so it seems like what we're really talking about, more so than any sort of what's right and what's wrong, is we're talking about asymmetries of power. And isn't that what it's all about in the stand-up
yes.
game?
Well, it is. And here's a perfect example. Right. Our brother's podcast co-host, DJ Doug Pound, he made this video. It was like a rap, right, Nikki?
Yeah, it was like, I think it was called like the grocery store rap.
Right.
Or something like
and
that.
Then.
Oh, is that the one where he does the worst rhymes possible with like products with odd names? Odd names?
Yeah,
exactly. Threw out my hip. Good thing I bought some Birdie's chips. That's
right.
Yeah.
But it was Saturday Night Live, did a very similar.
Almost. Not very similar. Almost identical. No, that's different, Max.
Why is that?
But
I don't know.
He's talking about dynamics of power.
Not only was the Saturday Night Live video on YouTube titled the exact same thing, but it was shot very similarly. It was amazing how similar it was. Kyle Mooney, in this case, was the person doing the rap and on Saturday Night Live. And
I have to imagine Kyle Mooney definitely knows.
Yeah, but he
with
his
background.
Definitely
he knows.
They're friends.
Kyle Mooney is.
Kyle Mooney, I think he didn't realize, right?
I don't. Yeah. Well, basically, Doug did call out Saturday Night Live on Twitter, and Kyle Mooney, he responded saying, "Hey, sorry, man, I had no idea of your thing." And I mean, but this Saturday Night Live has been accused of this kind of thing for years, you know, and. I think it might be like the Robin Williams thing where these writers are tired at night and they don't realize that they come up with an idea not realizing, oh, I probably heard this before and I didn't know that because I'm so tired and I'm just thinking I'm coming up with a good idea on the spot here. I think that's the case. Now,
Well, that's really giving them the benefit of the doubt, I guess.
They are muddy waters, as you say, because if you like blind submit on to being a writer for Saturday Night Live, they have the right to use that idea even though you don't.
Even if you're not hired.
If you're not hired.
Right, right.
Which is kind of a messed up thing. Like,
well, that's actually
almost as if to say.
They do that with a lot of TV shows.
Almost
actually.
As if to say, hey, we're not good enough to. yeah, that's an interesting thing. Like, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could. I mean, you know, someone can come up with one great idea in a packet, and everything else can be total garbage. And it's right. obvious that they're not ready to step up and handle this. You know, this would be a Saturday Night Live perspective. But that one idea, hey, that's a great idea. I think for me, the only problem with that practice is then not attributing the idea to that person right. and not paying them.
Right. Right.
It's completely above board if you do both of those things.
Anyway, it's just kind of interesting. The power dynamics that are at play there is the people that have more power will get the credit, basically. I mean, for the vast majority of people, you know, that are watching these things, they're going to watch the thing of the person that's more popular or has more power, you know? So is that fair? You know, even if it's like a similar idea, well, anyway, it's kind of...
Well, that's an interesting point, Max, because, you know, Inside Amy Schumer was actually accused of doing this a lot.
Really? Is that true?
I've seen videos where they show side-by-side side comparisons of the sketch that they kind of essentially stole. And there's this one sketch from Inside Amy Schumer. I saw the original sketch that they, quote-unquote, stole it from. And even just the way it's shot is so similar that it's hard to believe that the person who wrote that sketch for Inside Amy Schumer just took the idea through osmosis and they didn't realize it. It almost seems like, oh, they went out of their way to steal it, you know? And that's bizarre. Or another example is...
The Facebook
yeah. thing. Our older brother...
With
Andrew Bashan and Zed Kustinger, they made this video called The Facebook. And it was a video basically... like an American, like a 90s America Online commercial, but they did it as if it was the face. They called it the Facebook.
It was like the origin, like the beginnings of Facebook.
No, it was like, it was as if they were doing a commercial in the mid 90s for Facebook, but it was called the Facebook. And it's so well done. And the John Oliver show, they did the same exact sketch, almost. Perfectly exactly.
Well, it was also it was the same commercial too that they were mocking basically,
right?
Because it's based on an old AOL commercial.
And the John Oliver video came out not too long after they had released Brent and Andrew and Zed had released their video. So it was almost as if wow, the proximity and time of these two videos coming out is so close that it's hard to believe that. The John Oliver one didn't steal, but that is a thing. Yes, they were in more powerful positions. So yeah. Even though their Brent and Andrew and Zed's video actually did go viral, this was like in the mid
2010s. Yeah, no, it went pretty viral. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, it's kind of interesting. But anyway, I guess to sum it up.
Well, I did want to say one thing about music.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. No music. Right. Sure. I guess that's also
Max.
Thing.
Matt. Okay. So. Max wrote a musical a while ago. We put it up in San Francisco. It's called A Match Made in Hell. And Max was writing, I would say, the best song of the musical. It's called Don't You Be Afraid. You can look it up now on Spotify if you want, under Max and Nikki. It's very good.
I'm going to do that.
Max was... there's a section of the song that he's like, does this sound too much like... what is it, Bare Necessities or something like that?
Yeah.
And Max was like so obsessed with changing this one small section of the song because he thought it sounded like something from Bare Necessities. And I'm like, dude, you know how many songs that there are little snippets
yeah.
that are similar amongst each other? It's not like you stole the whole song. You shouldn't be obsessing over trying to get this exactly
I mean,
perfectly
when you think
original.
About the biggest musical of the past 25 years, Hamilton... It's full of quotes from all sorts of other musicals. I mean, it quotes the last 5 years. You know, it's set in colonial times, and it's referring to you know basically a romantic comedy that they already adapted into an Anna Kendrick movie. It's like you're allowed to you know pay some homage to your inspiration.
Sure, but there's an intentional paying of homage, and then there's like...
But it's not... But Max,
I'm not
but,
really
but Max,
trying to...
My argument is that you should be okay with this because it's just a small few notes
I know,
of the
I'm
song.
Sure, and you know, here's the thing. I am okay with it. It's also the way it's performed is different, and also for me to think that Bare Necessities even had that little snippet as their original idea. I mean, this it probably was done in classical music at some point. You know, there's just it's like Paul McCartney was interviewed and talking about how he heard somewhere from West Side Story, "There's a place for us." He thought, oh, that's such an original phrase, "There's a place for us." And then he said, but then I learned later Beethoven did that in this one piece of his. And I was like, and, you know, so, and that's like the, that's that interval of going, it's for all you music nerds out there, it's a dominant seventh, it's a minor seventh interval. And just going da
one of
da,
my favorite
da, da da da. It's such like an iconic leap that even in my musicianship classes,
me too,
my teacher would say, if you're having trouble trying to remember or identify that interval, just think of
somewhere
from West Side Story, and then you'll be able to get it.
Helped me in my musicianship.
And
classes.
So we would do that. That helped me too. And so because when you can, it's just a good mnemonic.
Well,
anyway. The point is, yes, you're right, Nikki. I'm being a little, you know.
I think
persnickety, yeah, I guess.
Okay, so yes. Wait, sorry, Peter. Do you have something?
Yeah. So I think, I mean, what I'm sort of coming around to myself as an opinion is that in music and comedy, it's pretty different because
yes.
In music, I mean, it's so apparent the base from which you draw every single thing that you're doing is what, you know, 13 notes. And is
12
that the right
notes.
Number?
12. 12
thank
notes.
You. Whoops.
We'll cut it out.
No,
we're
it
keeping
stays.
It in. We're okay. Staying.
And so, of course, from there, you know, there's this shared relationship with all these
sure.
different notes that everybody mm-hmm. has. Whereas, you know, language, we have what, you know, how many words are there in the English language? 40 to 50,000, 40 to 100,000, something like that.
Wow. Something like
that. I'm surprised there's that little. I thought there would be even more than that.
It's a smaller number than you would think.
Really?
I mean, I'm sure if you introduce like, you know, scientific jargon and all that, whatever, it can go on. On and on and on. But like in like dictionaries, you know, just like to take a dictionary, for instance, that's a finite number of words. I think it's in the tens of thousands.
Right.
And we arrange them so specifically, the syntax, it's the purpose of language is to mean one thing. Whereas
yeah.
the purpose of music is, and art, I would say, you know, is not that. It's inherently, it's detached from that form of meaning in the
it's
way that comedy...
It's more abstract in a way. Yeah.
Comedy, of course, right. There's more than, you know, there's layers to art and comedy where you can interpret a joke in more than one way, but fundamentally you're talking about one thing every time you say
sure.
it.
Sure,
there's, you know, you can't do a cover of someone's joke and make it sad, you know, like
that's
the way
right.
you can with someone's song.
That's right. You're...
I mean, you can
you're,
just by
you're
performing
intention,
it and being
you're intentionally
pathetic,
trying to get a laugh from a specific thing, basically,
yeah.
And you're not trying to get anything else from that. Really.
You're trying to turn one key that's in everybody's minds, whereas with music, that's just, you know, that's never going to happen.
Sure.
People are going to react
that's
to it
true.
Differently.
That's true.
And so I think that's why in music you have it, and it's not so much about asymmetries of power, and it's not so much about, you know, stealing. That is kind of more inspiration. In comedy... If you saw it and you don't realize that you stole it, that's one thing, and that's okay, and give the person credit and whatever. And if it's a skit that you recorded, okay, it's out there and whatever. We can slap hands and move on. But if it's a joke and you're telling the joke, I say best joke wins, best version of the joke. And then sub caveat, unless the person was telling like some version of that joke for years and you knew about it and you're just like, oh, I have an edit. And I'll make this joke a little better.
Oh, well, that's
totally
not okay.
That's, yeah. Anytime you're aware.
So, Peter, so what would you, how would you answer the question with this Jaws joke in particular? Should we still do it? Or are we allowed to keep doing it? Or
I would say, because you formulated the joke differently and you discovered the idea independently. And so in this case, it comes down to, for me, best joke wins. And I think you have the best joke, so I think you keep going. Now, this
so
other guy
essentially,
might...
sorry, not essentially, but you know what I mean.
fundamentally.
Fundamentally, it is a case-by-case basis.
Sure.
But I think less so in comedy. I think in comedy,
yeah,
there's some basic rules. Sure. Of what are the basic rules? Did you know? Well, that's the key one. If you knew, you're terrible. You never get to do it again.
Right.
Okay. You didn't know. How similar are they? If there's a personal element to it, you're good. You're covered. There's not a personal element. You're just sort of making a joke about an external thing in the world, and you've found the same comedic mechanism, such as sassy person. Mm-hmm. Then I think it comes down to best joke wins. And so in the decision tree in comedy, I don't think it is that it's case by case. Well, everything is case by case, but I think the rubric is fairly clear.
Right. Now, and it's also in the case where the fourth thing is if it was performed on TV or in a setting where a lot of people knew about it, in that case, hey, it's up to you if you want to keep doing it or not, but people are going to judge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I personally, if somebody... No, I don't know. Anyway, I don't have anything to say on that, but I think you kind of summed up maybe an agreement on this, Peter, which is
sure.
There are rules to abide by, maybe.
Yeah, I guess maybe I overstepped my bounds as a moderator.
No,
and became
no,
a
that's
judge.
What we want. That's whole idea of a moderator is... this show, the moderator is allowed to overstep their bounds and ends up choosing a side.
Well,
actually.
Then in that case, I want to thank everybody listening to Splitting Hairs. I am the most important person on this show. Is that what you were saying?
No. That's what we were
That's
saying.
Exactly That's, what I was yeah. saying, yes. Oh,
but I do want to mention one thing about music is, you know, you guys all know the song Blurred Lines, right?
An ironic title in this debate.
Well, they were, right. Well, what's funny about that is, they were sued by the estate of Marvin Gaye because Blurred Lines is purposely trying to pay homage into having a sort of similar style in that that kind of genre of music, and it doesn't the song is not the same though, like the melody is not the same, it's different, and the Marvin Gaye estate successfully sued them.
Yeah,
because they have the same feeling.
I think that every like R&B disco. Act from like 1975 to 1983 should join a class action suit against Uptown Funk because they
well,
Max,
and I,
have
Max and I were just talking
that is,
about Bruno Mars.
That is
yesterday.
The most like I mean I know that culture is a you know is the human centipede whatever but that when I heard that I was like this is like and now it's funny because now this is no longer a joke and this is just the real world. It's like that struck me as like machine learning listened to music from that era and wanted to make a song that adds nothing and just is completely derivative, they would have arrived at Uptown Funk. And so I think that every single artist from that era has a valid claim in court. They need to get on the phone with one of those lawyers that have a poster in the subway because they've been damaged.
It's well, funny you say that. I actually was telling this to Max yesterday. Oh, man, this is something we should have brought up early in the episode.
Bruno
you
Mars.
Know the group Silk Sonic, right? I mean,
I may, but I
it's a
not,
duo
not on top of my
with
head.
Bruno Mars and Anderson.
Oh, oh yeah, I actually really do. Yeah, I dig their.
They tunes. Have these songs that are so they're like pastiche. They're really so influenced by 70s R&B that it, for lack of a better word, it is or better way of saying it, it is 70s R&B. With modern production techniques, but the songs themselves sound so derivative. You're right. It sounds like an AI formed how a 70s R&B song or funk song should sound, but
yeah.
The songs themselves are not as good as the predecessors.
I mean,
you know?
I like some of the stuff that I've heard from them, and it's not as sort of like, oh my God, this is bashing me over the head with like, hey, have you guys ever heard of the 70s?
You should watch their music videos for these because,
you know, Uptown Funk was. And so I guess maybe this is it. I guess that's because that was what Uptown Funk was Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson.
Right.
And I guess this is just Bruno Mars's thing, which, you know.
That is his thing, but here's the thing. But that is.
He did a damn good Prince impression, though, at that Grammys. I got to say.
Oh. I can know, you, right? But that's an argument to be made is, can you pay homage to these styles anymore? Like, in other words...
I don't have a... I think
no,
he's more than welcome
No, as Pharrell was saying, when Blurred Lines lost that court case, he said this is setting a bad precedent for music because everyone is influenced in some way, and they were seemingly purposely trying to pay homage, you know? So, yeah. I don't know.
You guys are the perfect group duo to talk to about this. Is it Lieber and Stoller? Is that the... I was recently on, you know, a Wikipedia hole, and I ended up on this, you know, list of Lieber and Stoller charting hits, and I went down to the... There's lots. And I think it was like over 100. And... the last one on the list, or one of the last ones, is Regulate.
They were sampled, I'm assuming.
That's what I assume too.
That's so funny.
But that is not the case. Really? That song samples, of course, the Michael McDonald song.
I keep forgetting.
Sure. I keep forgetting. Which took such direct inspiration from a Lieber and Stoller song,
really?
That without, like, actually, it's not a cover, it is a new song, but they gave Lieber and Stoller songwriting credit on, Michael McDonald did, on, you know, whatever. Can't forget things I'll never, that one. With pre-lawsuit, like, they just gave it to them because it was so inspired by it off the top, and that's why Lieber and Stoller, you know, like Hound Dog, 1940s, 50s have a charting hit in the early 90s with Warren G and Nate Dogg. I don't see Lieber and Stoller in the, you know, in the studio over the, you know, production board. Nate Dogg, that's hot. Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
It's a good one.
It's so funny you say
Warren
that.
Warren G is, let's get another.
Peter, that I actually looked this up recently too, like just a few weeks ago. I actually sent Max and Brent the video of the original Lieber and Stoller song that I keep forgetting was influenced.
You're joking.
But it's really funny that you're mentioning this right now, because I just looked this up recently too, and I was
what's
like,
the guy's
wow.
name? Something Jackson is the artist that
I can't remember.
Before?
Yeah. I mean, to me, the songs are actually very different.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising when you listen to Michael McDonald thought he had to give him credit.
Right, it's interesting. It's amazing that they preemptively gave him credit.
So Michael McDonald was kind of like me, thinking like, "Oh, am I taking from them?"
Yeah.
Even though it's nothing.
Whereas
like
Pharrell was more like Nicki, which is a sentence I've said so many times.
Max, if you have a problem telling us apart, Max is more like Michael McDonald, Nicki's more like Pharrell. That's how you tell us apart.
Right.
And with that, I think we're about to end our Zoom. So thank you for joining us on yet another edition of Splitting Hairs with Max, Nicki.
Well, hold on. I do want to say, if you like what you heard and saw today, make sure to hit that subscribe button on YouTube if you're watching on YouTube, and rate and review us on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. We do want to thank our special guest host today, Peter Banks Kenny, for joining us. Thanks for doing a stellar job in the moderator position. And... hey, guys, by the way, I wanted to say this up top. Look out for new songs from our band coming up. We just did the test yesterday, and they sounded great, where you listen to the songs in a car stereo, and they sounded great.
Which is the best stereo that any non-incredibly rich person has.
Right. Nicki, better say this quick.
But yeah, thank you for tuning in to another edition of Splitting Hairs with Max, Nicki, and this week, Peter. Thanks, Kenny.
Please keep tuning in.
Thanks, y'all.